Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms. Guys, you didn't think we'd have Charlotte Tilbury in New York City, have a sleepover with her, and not bring her into the studio for an interview. That's right. It's Fat Mascara. I'm Jen.
I'm Jess.
Jess, before we get to the big, big interview, what are we going to talk about?
We are going to talk about Neutrogena's newest ambassador, magnesium. So hot right now. And we have a listener question about, of all things, blow dryers.
And, of course, cosmetic industry magnificent queen.
Redheaded queen.
Charlotte Tilbury is here for the interview. So we're going to be real quick at the top of the show so we can get to her and all the good stuff she has to share.
Grand, but it won't pay the rental on your humble flats or help you feed your pussycat.
Wow, Jen, I was blown away by this bit of beauty news. The news this week that Neutrogena has a new face.
Oh, yes, it does.
She's a very fair face. She's a very A-list face.
Yeah, Nicole Kidman.
Nicole Kidman.
What did you think when you heard that? What was your first thought?
Well, I was happy that they had a woman who wasn't like 22 years old.
Right. She's 49.
Mm-hmm. I was a little surprised because I don't really see her doing a ton of endorsements. And I mean, she does Chanel, and that's, you know, obviously like the golden ring, and she's so A-list. So to be seeing her in the pages of, like, you know, People Magazine, Us Weekly, just, you know, in these ads, is kind of a new thing for her. It's very approachable.
Yeah. Because this is a mass brand. I think she mostly does luxury, which is an important note for people who don't realize this. Some of these actresses, they're able to have beauty contracts in different channels with different brands. So, for example, like an Amanda Seyfried might have a Givenchy fragrance contract, but a Clé de Peau makeup contract. So mm-hmm. she's now going to have, I guess she's for skincare for Neutrogena.
Correct.
So that was, at first I was like, ooh, that's not the right fit. Because I think of her as like a cold, austere, and like upscale. Mm-hmm. But she lives in Nashville now, and she's Australian and down.
Yeah, she has her hunky, like, country husband.
The reason it does make sense for me, though, is the sun thing. Like, I think Neutrogena is really good in the sunscreen part of the industry. And I think of her because she's Australian, and they're so good about sun care. She's super fair, so she needs to be really careful about sun care. For that reason, it makes sense for me. But, like, just from, like, a feeling, Like a...
Yeah, I think it's probably a sun thing. Probably not. I mean, I don't know. I'd be curious to see if she's going to be fronting their anti-aging products.
Oh, because she's obviously someone that has had some cosmetic procedures other than just using topicals, in my opinion. We don't know.
But
looking at her, I can't imagine she hasn't had, like, at least some Botox, you know?
That goes for all actresses over the age of 24 in Hollywood, probably, scarily enough.
Yeah. Have you seen...
That's not an endorsement, guys. That's not an endorsement.
Have you seen the visuals? That was my last one, like, what she's going to look like in ads. I haven't seen anything yet. Because I think it'll be interesting to see how she's portrayed. Like, does she look austere and like an Academy Award winner? Or is she like Nashville?
Yeah, I have. You know, I have. I'm going to flash you a pic.
Oh.
She looks very approachable. She kind of like, she's just wearing this little kind of like satiny button down. Her hair is just kind of soft and blown out with a little bit of a curl at the end. She just looks really nice.
Yeah. I want to see how people respond to it, but that's my thoughts.
I would take sun care advice from her though, that's for sure. I'll use what she's using. I'll have what she's having. Smoking, no cooking, the hot pot. Cooking, fucking on your bitch, yeah, that. Cooking up dope in the crock pot. We came from nothing to something, nigga. I don't try nobody, grip the trick. Jen, I'm glad you're back safely from your trip to France.
Yes, I'm back.
Oui, oui.
I bring you all of the news. What's in vogue in France these days?
We've talked about so many fabulous French things.
Yeah.
The French face. French girl hair.
French sleeping pills.
What's the latest on the French scene?
Oh, c'est super. C'est magnifique. Was that good?
That was actually really good.
It's magnesium.
Oh.
Old school mineral.
Okay.
MG on the periodic table, I believe. Anyway, so I went to Vichy, which is the center of the thermal spa world of France.
Mm-hmm.
Thermal spas are like the, you know, hot springs that are filled with minerals that you can soak in and drink and all that stuff. I did all that. I'm writing a story about it for Marie Claire. But the thing that I kept running into there was magnesium. It's in some of the waters, so it has some health benefits. But I was at dinner with these two French women, and one of the women had vertigo. Just, I guess, like...
Do you know that I think I have vertigo?
Like dizziness, right?
No, I mean, you've seen me go down the stairs. It's not a pretty sight.
I think a lot of people deal with it off and on, either because you had an ear infection, your inner ear's messed up, or, you know, stress causes it sometimes. This woman thinks because she was on the plane, she had vertigo. Anyway, immediately, one of the French women pulls out of her bag, like, this big tube of magnesium effervescent tablets. You know, like...
Like Alka-Seltzer type
of thing? Yeah, like Alka-Seltzer. She also takes the regular supplements. But she starts going on about how like magnesium is great for vertigo. It's great for migraines. It's great for all this stuff.
Well, you know I'm a migraine sufferer as well. Oh my God, I'm probably so magnesium deficient.
Well, so I looked into it because I thought it was like one of those like French things where they like believe it's true. And it's like, is there any science behind it? Weirdly, quel coincidence, I don't even know if that's French, the thermal springs are really rich in magnesium. So a lot of people used to go to them back in the day to soak for like rheumatoid arthritis for...
I have rheumatoid. JK.
Okay, this segment is now okay. Just needs magnesium.
No, but I think I do. And it's really funny because my friend actually just texted me a picture about like we had a nutrition conversation. He's like, you need to take this. Like just I think there's something in the ether.
There might be something there for you. So... There are lots of studies showing people that are magnesium deficient might be more likely to have migraines or these kind of things, and fewer studies showing that like supplementing orally with magnesium can help with different, you know, ailments.
So we're not sure if the supplements can actually help?
No, there is some like correlation. I don't know if it's a causal thing, but I feel like it's one of those supplements that unless you're taking too much and as long as you talk to the doctor, like it can't hurt. So why wouldn't you try it?
Right.
The other thing about magnesium is, you know, Epsom salts?
Yeah.
So they're really rich in magnesium, and you can get it transdermally. So you don't just have to, like, take a supplement. You could also soak in an Epsom salt bath if you want, like, a cheapy version instead of going to buy effervescent magnesium tablets.
Right.
Okay, we'll put a link to some on the blog. Also, you know Dr. Teal's Epsom salts?
Sure.
That's, like, easy at the drugstore. You can get magnesium mm-hmm. that way, put a couple of those in the bathtub. But very hot in France, and I'm just starting to hear about it in New York. I feel like it's around magnesium.
Okay. I'm excited to say that we have a listener question. This one was emailed to us from Heather. She says, let's talk about blow dryers. I've been using mine, a trusty pink Revlon, since I graduated from college and haven't had any problems with it. But lately, I'm beginning to wonder if it's not a good sign to use the same hair dryer for 5+ years. Is there a timeline for these kind of things?
Heather wants to know.
Heather wants to know.
I have some answers for Heather.
Jen, what you got?
Okay, so she said 5 years. I was talking to Harry Josh about this, the hairstylist who also has a hair tools line. Mm-hmm. And he said on average, like a drugstore level or commercial level hair dryer, the motor will last, they're built to last 200 to 500 hours. So let's say Heather's like an occasional blow dryer and she blow dries for like 20 minutes at a time. I don't feel like doing math, it's early. Sorry.
But like, I don't think I could do it if it was late. That's a lot.
It's quite possible she might still be okay with her Revlon, right? Like 500 hours is...
Yeah.
A long time. But he also said that as you get, your blow dryer gets older, the motor, the electronics inside are not as good at regulating heat. So you watts don't matter in this case, by the way, because everybody always wonders about the watts. But say it's coming out at a certain temperature, as it gets older and, you know, the workings of the motor get clogged up, it might be coming out hotter. And that's not a good thing because you don't want too much heat on your hair.
Okay.
So I feel like it's definitely dependent on how your blow dryer is reacting. How often do you get a new blow dryer?
I've had my blow dryer since 2010.
Whoa.
It's like a T3. It was one of those ones that Orlando Pito was talking
about.
Girl,
that's 7 years.
Yeah, but I blow dry my hair probably for maybe 5 minutes tops.
Oh, okay.
Like a couple times a week. I mean, you just see, I'm not like a blow dryer queen.
Okay.
It's amazing. I love my T3.
But I guess if you were blow drying for a half an hour a day, every day.
Yeah, then you're putting it. I guess it's almost like, it's like, I think about my like late grandmother's like little Hyundai car. She drove it to like the Wawa, or like Stop and Shop and back.
Shout out
you
to
know,
Wawa.
She had that thing. Yeah, it was like a 1999
but
car.
But she was
or
only
something.
Going 5 miles
yeah.
at a time.
My parents literally are like selling it now.
Aww.
You know what I mean? Like
short haul.
Yeah, it was a short
if you're
haul
a short
car.
Haul blow dryer. Blow dryer? Is that a noun for a person that blow dries?
Yeah, a blow dryer.
Then I think you can get more, you know, more years out of it. But if Heather is using it a lot, it might be time for a new one. Harry Josh's, he has like a fancy motor, supposedly lasts 2,000 hours. I actually used his blow dryer. I think it's great.
Yeah, his is built to last. I've asked like competing hairstylists, like ones who are like probably like, Harry Josh.
Yes.
They love his hair tools.
It's really good. And then I've had good luck with Babyliss as well.
Oh, I went to the like.
Am I saying that right?
Yeah, Babyliss? I think it's Babyliss. Yeah. I went to a hair show like a year ago and they debuted that thing. And like the hairstylist literally like I had to leave because I was getting caught in the crowd. It was crazy.
And that's a good reminder to end on. I feel like when you're at the salon, they're often like trying to upsell you to like a fancy professional blow dryer. But remember, those people are using them 8 hours a day. Mm-hmm. Like they need the $400 hair dryer. If you're just doing like a 5 minute thing like Revlon, Conair, it's probably going to be fine.
That's a good point. Continue to send us your questions, guys.
info@fatmascara.com.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
You'll know
know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff. With real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
That's a fine man and blondes are fun, but when it comes to getting a dirty job done, I'll take a red-headed woman.
I'd like to welcome a woman who hasn't just created amazing products like Magic Cream and Goddess Skin Clay Mask, but virtual identities like The Sophisticate, Dolce Vita, and The Rock Chick. She's also the makeup artist to women like Kate Moss, Blake Lively, and Sienna Miller. Please welcome Charlotte Smoky Eye Till I Die Tilbury. Charlotte, thank you for coming. I've been trying to make this happen for ages.
Well, I'm loving it. Well, I'm loving it in this naughty office in these great big 1950s microphones. It's cool with you gorgeous girls of beauty.
You don't even know. You come up on the podcast like bi-weekly, I would say.
Oh, God, that's so wonderful. Yes.
Really? We get tweets and Instagrams like, have Charlotte on.
Oh, I love them. I'm on.
Dreams are coming true.
Yes. Yeah.
Let's just get started. Let's get right into it. Tell us how you became a makeup artist. That's a very broad question, but
yeah,
we need to know.
That's a big question. How long do we have?
As long as you want,
yeah,
yes.
Exactly.
Well, when's your flight?
Okay, yeah. So I became a makeup artist, I think at the age of 13, when I discovered makeup, mascara, and it changed my life. And then I realized, my God, the power of beauty and how much your life, how empowering it is, how confidence boosting it is. And at that point, I was always obsessed with faces. From a young girl, I was always studying posters of Marilyn Monroe, Lauren Bacall, or whoever it was, black and white posters, magazines. How was a certain woman's cheekbones doing a certain thing? How the light was capturing them? How their eyes were almond-shaped? How their lashes kind of played like a beautiful flutter of lashes? How their eyebrows would frame their face? How their noses... I was just obsessed with beauty.
Did people understand it? Like, did your friends think you were crazy, or were you?
A friend of mine now says to me, it's so funny. She said, talking about what we're doing now, she says that I used to take a Mason and Pearson hairbrush when I was like literally, 8, 9 years old, and I stand there and I would do podcasts with a Mason and Pearson hairbrush, and I would talk, and they'd get the tape recorder, they'd be like, okay, Charlotte, now talk about beauty, and I'd be like, and let me tell you about the power of makeup, and I would just go on and on. I don't know where these are, but I would, you know, I would
so
literally
you had the first
talk
beauty
for
podcast.
Hours when I was like 7 or 8 years old.
Love it.
And they just thought I was a bit mad, you know. They were like, oh my gosh, she's so crazy, and they're like, you know. And they let me kind of rattle on for ages. Yeah, a friend of mine was sort of getting that to me the other day. She's saying, you know, you were always meant to do this. You were always meant to end up in beauty, because I just, you know. But anyway, so I was obsessed with it. And then I met this makeup artist, Mary Greenwell, when I was the age of 13. Mm. And she was on the beach in Ibiza, and she was doing all these Vogue covers and Jerry Hall and this one and that one, all these models and actresses. And I'd never really heard of a makeup artist. My father was an artist. And then I thought, okay, that's... And I remember... probably around the age of 16 when I was thinking, okay, I'm going to do my A-levels, what am I going to do? I was quite a practical thinker. I was like, I don't really want to be... I loved art. I was very good, naturally good at art, but I didn't really want to be a lonely artist. I was just, you know, I love people, I love beauty, I love fun, I love fashion. And then I met another makeup artist, and he said, you know, I'm traveling New York, Paris, Milan, and this is what I'm doing, and doing all these covers and makeup. And I remember walking out saying, Mummy, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to be a makeup artist. She's like, yes, darling, of course you are. And then I went to assist Mary Greenwell at the fashion shows in London, Paris, New York, Milan. And then I just sort of, you know, really through kind of sheer determination, this beauty editor gave me this note once. When I was trying to find my way, cold calling people going, hi, will you give me a job? And it was like a recession was going on, so people weren't really kind of giving sort of newcomers any jobs. And she gave me this note saying, knock it to them, Charlotte, I know you'll be a star.
Who is this beauty editor?
She was a woman called Penny Rich. And she used to give me, literally at boarding school, I used to go and literally come back with, you know, like tuck boxes. In England, when you go to boarding school, you have a tuck box. A tuck box is like like a big sort of treasure chest of sweets.
And oh, like a tuck shop.
Yeah, like a tuck shop. Yeah, yeah. Exactly. So you have a tuck box. But instead of a tuck box, I had a huge makeup box.
Oh, that's so funny.
Filled with makeup. Yes. So she used to give me this boxes and boxes filled with makeup. And then I remember I was an early retailer because at boarding school I used to, I remember I'd keep all the kind of my favorite things and then I'd sort of trade. I start kind of like selling some of the kind of lipsticks I didn't want to certain people, the mm-hmm. perfumes or the creams or whatever. So I can't help it. It's in my blood. But what happened going back to, where were we, darling?
I don't know, but I was going to ask you if you weren't a makeup artist, what you'd be, but it sounds like a painter, a retailer, like you've got it all sort of wrapped up in you.
I mean, yeah, I remember I sort of wanted to be an actress, then I wanted to be a lawyer, and then I wanted to be, the three things I wanted to do, I wanted to be an artist because that was what I was naturally very good at. And then, but I didn't really want to be, and then I thought I wanted to be an actress and then a lawyer. So those are the kind of the sort of the things that I kind of thought about.
One is very practical.
To be honest with you, I think I have a kind of weird, my brain is sort of weirdly, as I'm realizing, running a kind of business and sort of building something that you kind of have to have a sort of art and commerce understanding mm-hmm. of, you can't just be an artist, you have to be able to understand if you truly want to be in control of your vision and something mm-hmm. you really want to create for sort of beginning to end, you have to understand the whole process.
Yeah. Speaking about the process.
Yes.
When someone hires you to do makeup, what is that, you know, there are lots of, you know, A-list makeup artists out there, but people are seeking you out left and right. You're very much in demand. I saw that wall when I walked into your office in London. Basically, it's a wall of every single celebrity you can ever name. You've done their makeup and it's on the cover of, you know, Vogue. Yeah. What are they getting from you that they're not getting from someone
else?
What's the process?
I think that
tangible and intangible.
Well, I love making women look like the most beautiful versions of themselves. So it's never, makeup is never a mask for me. It's just about bringing out someone's beauty and making them. I never think that makeup should wear somebody. You know, it should just be like, wow, you just look amazing, rather than your makeup looks really great. And I think, you know, I'm a complete perfectionist. Which I drive myself, you know, and everyone else sometimes crazy about that. But I think you are. If you're going to get to the top of your field, you have to be that person. I'm incredibly determined. I'm obsessed with beauty. I'm obsessed with making people feel confident and amazing and happy. And I think makeup is that. I think it's so much more. It's such as, you know, I always talk about the psychology of makeup or the psychology. It's so empowering and massive with makeup that you see, I see it all the time. It's the reason I kind of do what I do is because, you know, you see sort of celebrities or models walk in sometimes feeling kind of exhausted and tired. And like I do sort of this morning, kind of, you know, coming back from the Golden Globes, like absolutely exhausted after kind of like 5 days of very little sleep. And then you kind of, you know, I put kind of my, you know, my mask of the future, my goddess skin clay mask, my magic cream on, my makeup. And then I'm like, there she is. And I then can sit opposite you feeling really confident and really great. But if you saw the girl that was like the wreck in bed, do you know what I mean? Like with the puffy eyes and the kind of exhausted, dehydrated skin, because I've been on like, I don't know how many 11-hour flights in the last few days, that, you know, it's so empowering, it's so amazing, it's so magical what makeup does. Yeah. You know, it is makeup magic. I'm so tired, I'm losing my train of thought.
No, but you just did the Golden Globes. And that makes me think you also have done wedding makeup, like for Amal, or you'll do a cover of a magazine. Do you have a different process if it's like a red carpet versus a wedding versus?
Yeah, I think I do. I think that's why I ended up creating the kind of the 10 looks, because it was all about, really the 10 looks were all based on kind of cities and personalities and color wardrobes. So, you know, when you think about New York, I always think about kind of the uptown girl. I mean, the quintessentially, I mean, obviously it's kind of a multicultural place and there are lots of different kind of, you know, ethnicities and colors and, I mean, and kind of different kind of groups mm-hmm. of kind of social groups. But actually I always epitomize it with the uptown girl look, or London with the rock chick look, or kind of Ibiza or St. Barts, or any kind of, or south of France with the golden goddess, or the Dolce Vita quintessentially with Italy. And if I think about when I worked with all these celebrities and I was in all those different locations, because often we travel around, you know, you'd be wearing like a Dolce & Gabbana dress and be in Italy, and then you'd want the Dolce Vita look.
Am I Amal at my wedding?
Exactly. You could be Amal at your wedding, exactly. But it is that. You can transform people's faces to look like their beauty icons. You know, I often say to people, who is your beauty icon? Because I have done so many, and that's really how I created my line, because I worked with so many different celebrities. I was like, hold on a minute. Everyone was like, but I want the Kate Moss look, or I want the kind of look that you've
done. Well, what does Kate Moss say? What look does she want?
Yeah. Well, she always does because she's quintessentially the rock chick, the feline flick.
But she must want to get out of that sometimes.
She does. She'll like, a lot of them do different wardrobing, right? They don't wear the same outfit all the time. She won't always wear a pair of skinny jeans and a fur jacket and do the feline flick and the rock chick eye and the kind of beigey lips. And that was really taken from Brigitte Bardot. So it went from Brigitte Bardot to Kate Moss to then coming out with a kind of rock chick look. Mm-hmm. But actually, it's sort of, you know, you've got people who kind of want to wear, I don't know, the Golden Goddess and they'll be in a caftan and a sandal. Or kind of like, you know, and that would be very like Giselle or Jennifer Aniston or kind of, you know. So, but sometimes Kate Moss might want to wear kind of, she'll be in a red lit red carpet. She often does that. She'll be like in a 1930s dress and then her makeup will change. So
what's the Charlotte look?
The Charlotte look. I often do the Dolce Vita look. I mean, I have to say that's kind of, you know, I should come out with my own look though.
Yeah, Jesus. The Charlotte look.
I could just do not come out with my own thing. I am actually coming out with my own lipstick. That's the kind of that, no one knows that, but
so what does that mean for you? Like a little smoky eye?
Yeah, I'm quintessentially, I love because I've got so much colour on my head and the way that my the symmetry with my face and the way that I kind of like to play out my features, I think I look naturally better with bringing out my green eyes and making them look smoky and bigger and kind of playing down my lips just with the symmetry of my face. But I sometimes obviously use kind of like Walk of Shame or kind of different colours. That Walk of Shame is one of the colours that I use on Amal Clooney classically and Bond Girl for her wedding day, hilariously. But yeah, we're talking about weddings. I mean, and wedding looks, you know, Poppy Delevingne or Kate Moss, I've done all their kind of weddings. And you, I think when you're kind of doing a wedding, there's always a kind of dreaminess, an etherealness, a kind of a softness of beauty. That
yeah, maybe not
of,
rock chick, unless you're, you know, Kate Moss getting married, yeah. I guess.
No, even she didn't wear that.
She did like she did
the Sophisticate palette.
Yeah.
And then obviously Nude Kate, the lipstick.
Yeah.
She did at her actual wedding.
At her actual wedding.
Of course you knew that. I was just being
that
rhetorical.
That was the first time. That was the first lipstick that we ever, mixed because that was the one that everyone was always like, I want, and I was like, I can't give it to you because it's something that I've kind of mixed and I can't. Give
like
it
your
to
magic
me.
Cream too, that, same
yeah,
idea.
That, yeah, exactly. It was like the magic cream and the Kate Moss lipstick was kind of like the two things. And then from that, we then ended up creating the whole Hot Lips collection because everyone was like, hold on a minute, so Kate Moss has a lipstick and I don't. And I was like, and then I was mixing colours for certain celebrities and then we were like, okay, well, do you mind, should we just put this out should we give it to the world? And then they were like, yeah. And so we ended up doing the whole Hot Lips collection.
Has a celebrity ever said no? Like, don't give my lipstick away?
No.
If you want to make a Jen and Jess Fat Mascara, okay. I'm just here to say, it's fine. Go right ahead.
Let's take like a dupe from the back or like a sample.
No, I have to say, I'm so blessed. Yes, the JJ lipstick, right? I have to say, I'm so blessed. You know what? Everyone's been so supportive and so kind. And that is, it is a Tell a Woman campaign, this makeup line, and how amazing all those celebrities have been to me and all the models and everyone in the industry has been, and you two have been incredibly supportive. And that's really how this brand has kind of evolved. And, you know, it is me stealing a little bit of their beauty DNA and mixing that up. And then I'm like, would you just give this to the world? Because they all want it. Like, you know, Miranda Kerr's lipstick or Kim Kardashian's lipstick or, you know, all these kind of different colours that I've sort of created, or Sienna Miller's or whoever. I mean, there's like, I got so many amazing people. It was incredible.
Yeah. Now, you've worked on a lot of different brands before starting your own brand. And obviously there were some great products from those. But what's different? Like, what drove you to do your own? Like, what was missing from, obviously, without... slagging off their brands.
Yeah. If anyone else, no, we wouldn't hate to do that. No, I just,
but, you know, what kind of possessed you to say, you know what, I've worked on incredible brands like, you know, Tom Ford, Armani, but, you know, now it's time for me to do my own thing.
Helena Rubinstein, I mean, loads. I mean, I worked, sometimes it was just a lipstick line I would go in
like,
and
what
do.
What was the gap you saw?
Well, for me, it was just always that thing of like, I feel there were lots of great products on the market, but there were, sometimes you'd open up an eyeshadow palette and it'd be like, you'd like one eyeshadow and the rest you would hate. And they weren't colour harmonies. I used to call them parrot eyeshadow colours. It'd be like a purple, a pink,
parrot. Yeah.
And then kind of like a kind of brown and a beige. And you'd be like, oh, I really love the brown, the beige, but then like no one would really, you know, it just didn't, there weren't colour harmonies or... a lot of the products weren't the beautifully finely milled, like a lot of the time, because I'm an artist and I worked with some of the best laboratories in the world. And, you know, often I think a lot of makeup houses do things in-house, and that's not always, sometimes they can have really great things in-house, but some of the best sometimes the best factories are not in-house, mm-hmm. and they cost a lot of money. And so for me, I was really obsessed by creating the best products in the world, and you know, that kind of peerless product, so that no one else, you know, like if I wouldn't create a product, if there's something better out there and I can't, you know, like Magic Foundation took me 5 years to create, and I didn't have a demi matte heavy coverage foundation for five, well, I've only been in the market 3.5 years, but you know, creating it for a couple of years before that, I was like, I can't get this right, and I want my mineral eye wand, I couldn't get it right. So I, you know, and there are certain things I'm still working on around the same time as that I still can't get right.
Whereas like if you were a brand, there was a deadline and you had to be done.
Yeah, and I think they compromise, like, and I'm like
freedom.
And I work with these the best laboratories, and I don't just work with one laboratory, I work with different ones that do the best powders, or then the best mascaras, or the best, and you kind of innovate and create and do blue sky formulas with them. And I think, you know, working at that level of detail, I'm not just a marketeer. You know, I've worked inside all the different, you know, big houses, and I kind of think that level of the artistry and professionality and the kind of finish. Mm-hmm. I wanted people to have that red carpet finish. I wanted people to have that supermodel finish. I wanted to make products that were so easy to choose and easy to use that it would revolutionize their lives. Because 50% of women in England, and then I think in America it's a little bit less, but it's similar, did not engage with makeup because they were just terrified. They didn't know what to use or what to choose, or they were going to look kind of like...
Women in England don't wear makeup?
Yeah, they don't engage.
You're blowing my mind.
No, it's a fact. It's a fact.
But
I think America's more sophisticated like that, but there's still a lot of women in America who just maybe just engage a tiny bit because they're just terrified and they don't understand what suits them. So when
eyeshadow freaks people out.
Yeah, exactly. And so my thing is that I saw this white space and I was like, what I realized is that actually it's all about social archetypes. Like if you used to say to someone, who is your beauty icon? Mm-hmm. You know, is it Penelope Cruz? Is it kind of Jennifer Aniston? Is it Kim Kardashian? Is it who is it? They're always kind of like, you know, if it's the Gigi Hadids or the Jennifer Anistons or the Giselles, they're all kind of in a golden goddess world. Of course they'll do a red carpet look. They'll do a whatever.
It helps you get an entree into what you like. I think that was like the most brilliant thing, because I'm shocked that most people, like when you came out with the line and I remember I saw Unselfridges for the first time before you launched here, and it was like the rock chick. The sophisticated, it was like, oh my God, that's so easy. And then if you go
so
to the, it's so obvious. No one's thought of it before. And then you're like, oh, I need those four things, or I need those, you know, seven things, because now I know the look, instead of it's just a palette, or, you know, it's so obvious. I can't believe nobody.
That's the thing. And I remember Estee Lauder said,
I want to look like her, you know?
No, sorry, exactly. I was saying Estee Lauder said that the best ideas always sparkle in simplicity. And they do. Like, it's kind of like you said, like, how come no one ever thought of it before? Because that, as makeup artists, that's how you kind of do people's faces. You sort of go, or people sort of go, I want to look like her, and I'm kind of, or I want to dress, you know, it's like a certain woman that kind of relates to you if they're wearing the rock chick, like skinny jeans and a leather jacket.
Yeah, they don't say, I need medium coverage foundation.
They don't really know. No. And then from that world, they understand it's sort of a feline flick or a smoky eye or a beigey lipstick or kind of, mm-hmm. or maybe just a bronzy kind of natural look. Like, mm-hmm. they don't, it's a certain archetype they're kind of going for. So if you kind of break it down for them and make it really simple and put it together in these packages that they can then buy,
right.
you know, they can just come along and they can get the whole makeup bag, you know, so the whole look. So it's like saying to someone, you know, it's wardrobing. So you give someone the top, the skirt, the shoes, you give them the eyes, the cheeks, the lips. So because a lot of people go, well, okay, if those are the colors for my eyes, what would I wear on my cheeks or my lips? And so you, because then, you know what I mean? You don't want to kind of people get clashing and get it wrong. So you're like, here's the makeup wardrobe. Like you have runways, right? You have runways every season that will tell you, these are the kind of looks, this is how to put them together. And it's the same thing that we're kind of doing in makeup.
Versus buying the skirt and then you buy shoes 6 months later. And then like you're like, you stand in front of your closet, you say, I have nothing to wear. I hate this. I'm just going to wear what I always wore. You know,
exactly.
And you hate
and there is a little bit of artistry involved in makeup. So the easier that you can make the formula, the kind of less artistry mm-hmm. has to be involved. And I think that's what terrified a lot of women. They're like, I don't know how to put on eyeshadow. And I just like, I'm going to give you two brushes. The hairs have been all put together. I mean, they're all done by hand, actually, in these amazing factories. And then you literally can put, you can just go back and forwards like a windscreen wiper. And then you use certain formulas that don't ever, you know, don't ever blotch, don't ever smudge, don't ever fall down the face. Because a lot of eyeshadows aren't finely milled enough or don't have enough, they're too talky or they don't have enough emollients in them. So when people go to use them, they go, I'm useless to eyeshadow because it always goes blotchy. I mean, it falls away halfway down my face. I'm like, no, the formula's not good enough. enough. Mm-hmm. And so if you give someone a really great formula and you literally make it like, you know, in my eyeshadow palettes, when you open them up, it's like prime, enhance, smoke, pop, mm-hmm. desk, dusk, disco. And then the highlighter shade, I've made it so easy that is the most emollient kind of finely milled glitter ever.
Oh, they're different formulas?
Different formulas in each palette.
I thought it was the same formula, just different colors.
One of the formulas is, actually, no, they're all three different formulas in each palette.
Because you know where on the eye it's exactly going to go, what it needs.
And so one is to prime the whole eye. One is to enhance the eye into the socket and underneath. One is to smoke up the eye. And then the other one is to pop. So the pop shade, the final one in the palette, you can literally use it with, it's best to use it just with your finger. And then you put it on. It's actually what I just used on Nicole Kidman at the Golden Globes. Ooh. So,
that's like what, the center of the lid?
Yeah, right, the center of the lid. And exactly. And I actually did the kind of a mixture of the Uptown Girl and the Rock Chick on her. And then I got the silver in the Rock Chick, the pop shade, and I put it all over the lid. So it just like, and you can have it as a little pretty wash, or you can build it up to being really kind of intense, but it's so quick and easy to do.
Nice.
So it's, and it's really effective.
Speaking of like all of these different looks, I went to your beauty boudoir.
Yes.
In Covent Garden. Yeah. Yes. And you pick the look almost like you're picking a value meal or something.
Yeah.
No offense.
Yeah.
You pick like, you know, I want to do the Rock Chick or this, and you sit in
chair. But if you think about
really
that,
easy.
The whole McDonald's thing or whatever, the value meal, it's so easy, right? You understand it incredibly quickly.
Are you thinking of expanding that to the US or anywhere else? Because it was absolutely incredible.
You pick?
Oh, I picked the Sophisticated. That's my look. I love that look.
That's like, I know, it's so great. The Sophisticated.
It's just, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's always appropriate. I had my appointment at like 1 o'clock in the afternoon, so I didn't want to come out in daylight like Rock Chick.
Yeah.
You know, that's just not me.
But Dolce Vita would be amazing. You, the Golden Goddess, would be amazing.
Arguing, the girl and I, between Dolce Vita and Sophisticated. But I said, listen, it's like 1 p.m. I just felt like I wanted it to be a little subdued. Yeah. But it was gorgeous. But I'm actually going back soon, so I might do Dolce Vita. I'll send you a photo. But it was such a genius concept. The service was incredible. I know we would all die for it.
In the States, you mean?
In the States, yeah.
To have the Charlottesville Beauty Wonderland. Have you been to my Beauty Wonderland in Westfield? That's amazing.
No.
So you walk in.
Wait, Westfield in London or in London?
In London.
No, I haven't.
So my Beauty Wonderland, it's like a 2,000 square feet space. And I literally, it's like you walk in and then you've got the kind of champagne beauty boudoir, sort of where you can go and you can take all your girlfriends with you just before you're going on a big night out and all have your makeup done. Or you can get ready, kind of like bridesmaids will go in there with a kind of bride or kind of a hen do or whatever it is. And they'll be in this amazing kind of beauty salon with, you know, beautiful satin curtains and
you're just
amazing.
Making us jealous
and
yeah.
And some of the wonderful artists.
I think Jen and I have to go on a field trip together. Yeah.
Oh no, you will. And then we have amazing artists that work with me, like and work with celebrities, and they actually will go in there and do appointments and have a glass of champagne. And then we have a thing called the Magic Mirror. And the Magic Mirror is something that we've worked on for 18 months. The Magic Mirror is insane. It is so exciting. It just launched.
What does it do?
So you sit in front of it, okay, and by the click of a button, we worked with their coders to basically make sure that everything just looks like a professional makeup artist has just done your makeup. So by the click of a button, you can see yourself as the Rock Chick in real time, looking in the mirror.
Even
and you
moving
can moving around.
Around. And stuff.
You can move around, move your head around, talk, whatever, and you literally have the Rock Chick on your face, the Golden Goddess, the Dolce Vita, the Glamour Muse, the Rebel.
I mean,
literally all 10 looks, the Sophisticated, all of them, literally just keep on pressing the button and then it emails it. You press it and then it emails it to your inbox.
Yeah.
Your inbox, thank you. And then basically, exactly. And then you kind of have it in your inbox and you can basically see, you know, okay, these are all the different looks, whatever. And then you can say to the artist, suddenly people are like, oh my God, I never thought I'd look great in the Glamour Muse. And actually, it's fantastic. And you can just see
that's
it by the click
idea.
Of a button. And that's been huge. And that's it was the most exciting kind of launch. We just launched it about a month and a half ago. Yeah. So it was really revolutionary. And then we've got another area. So we've got the Magic Mirror, we've got the Beauty Boudoir, then we've got the Rock and Cole area. Which is the Rock and Cole area, which is like really fun. And it's like quick tricks. And you can have like a quick mesmerizing eye and you can have a feline flick and you can have...
Do you come up with these names or do you have like a little intern?
I have an amazing team, but I love naming products. It's just
the
like...
The names
you know,
kill me. Nocturnal eyes.
To mesmerize.
It's a little bit like... It's a little bit too... Like,
it's the most fun thing.
I love it. Advanced for me. I am a much simpler girl. No, we're going to have to find a look for me. But I remember when I first got introduced to you, I feel like this was probably when your line was launching, I'm not sure. You You said something and it stuck with me. Now I have to ask you about it. You said like your husband hasn't ever seen you.
No, he's never without seen me without makeup. No.
That's true. I thought I was like, she's such a good saleswoman. This is
no, it's whatever. The genuine truth. He's never seen me without makeup.
So what do? You go to sleep with makeup on?
I go, well, no. What happens is all my skincare comes off. So I wash my face with my Multi Miracle Glow.
Okay.
And then I put my magic cream on and I put my Wonder Glow on, my magic night cream, my eye cream, my Wonder Glow. And my Wonder Glow kind of soft focuses your lines and pores. And so that's kind of, and it has hyaluronic acid and bionic peptide, so you can sleep in Wonder.
No makeup, makeup.
Exactly.
It
all kind of like, it just makes you look kind of gazelle-y and gorgeous and kind of, I'm like pasty white, so that's kind of great. And it's got the hyaluronic and the bionic peptide, so, you know, it's kind of like that sort of fabulous primer. So I put that on and then I put my I call it my bedroom eye, and I have...
Wait, this is before bed?
This is before
bed. Oh my God, I love
and
it.
And then I have my...
Where is he? Just like in the bed, just like chilling?
No, he just, he's like, you know, I'm just getting ready in my little boudoir.
She's putting on her PJs. But you're like, I'll be right back. It's like an hour later and he's asleep.
And then I put my classic eyeliner on in chocolate brown.
Okay.
And that's in the
Sophia, you sleep in Sophia chocolate brown eyeliner.
A soft Sophia pencil with chocolate brown.
I love
and then
this.
That's my classic soft, it's like a powdery pencil. And then I just put my mascara back on. And that's my bedroom eye. And so I put my full fat lashes. I have white pillowcases. Sometimes it's a little smudge. Sometimes I use my Barbarella Brown Rock and Coal, which, because that doesn't come off. That's a 12 hours. You can rock all night in and out of the bedroom, darling. And then, and it doesn't come off.
Hello.
I know.
But, and then in the morning, you still look great. And he's just like,
well, you know, you've got a little,
smudgy,
little sexy, but it's like, you know, he kind of, yeah.
It makes me wonder, though, because there's been this big movement, at least in the States. I don't know.
Very, it's all about like, oh, so-and-so, I don't want to get like hate mail.
Alicia Keys.
No, I'm just kidding. Jen's fine. She's like, my email address is Jen Goldstein. So it's very much about like, so, you know, Alicia Keys is so brave because she went barefaced, or like, I'm bare and beautiful. Here's my like hashtag no makeup selfie. Yeah, like I find this all like very annoying.
I find it really annoying because I'm just like, you know what? Okay, this is just the truth. We judge people by the way that you look. Okay, you want to be really brave and show everyone that you don't have makeup on. That can be your prerogative. But at the end of the day, you're going to look better with makeup. Fact. Okay?
Fact.
So you want to do that? Great, whoopee. I'll sing and dance around for you and do a little kind of happy dance. But the fact is you're going to look better with makeup. You know? So I'm just like, I don't get it. And it's like, and it doesn't even have to be like a lot of makeup. It can just be like the subtle kind of, like we were talking about the beach stick, the Wonder Glow.
Yeah.
A little soft. It doesn't, I'm not talking for like a full face. I don't have to full drag. But like, you know, it's like you are just going to look better and you are going to be judged. Guess what? You are. So this whole like, I'm so brave. I'm like, why? Why? Why do you want to be like, yeah, we've all got bags and spots and we're all a bit exhausted and like whatever. And that's fine. And you can just be like, I'm going to celebrate that. I don't really want to celebrate that. Do you know what I mean? I'm like, I actually just think we all look better with makeup and it's just a fact. I mean, you know, and so
I look better.
I'm not
makeup,
saying,
that's
you know,
sure.
It's like I don't agree. I just totally disagree.
I am agreeing with you, but also I find it like, you know, it's almost like by saying like, I'm not wearing makeup and taking a photo. Like there's almost like a little bit holier than thou. Like you need makeup to feel good about yourself. Well, I actually do feel like I think it's expressive.
It's empowering.
I think it's,
you don't need
fun.
It, but you, it's good.
I feel,
why would you?
It's, I've been wearing
you
makeup.
You don't need clothes.
No, but no, exactly.
Why would you?
Exactly. And my point is like, okay, so you could say to somebody, okay, so you don't need it, but it's great,
and
right?
It's fun.
Like, so, and it's fun, and it's sexy, and it's great. It just makes you feel empowered and confident. So why wouldn't you take that? Poor men, they don't have that.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's like, well, they do, but they do, but not all men. Like, so some men are brave enough to wear makeup, and I think that is changing, and I'm obsessed.
It is changing,
It's definitely changing.
And a lot of male
I'm
fans.
I'm obsessed with men and makeup. In fact, I love, and a lot of my men wear magic cream, so now they're kind of like, or Wonder Glow they wear, or some wear Film Stop Wonder Glow, but there's still a lot of men out there that I know that don't feel empowered enough to be able to use makeup.
Yeah.
And I am starting to see a massive difference, and I love it, and I'm so into it.
Okay, redhead to redhead, like, what is this whole thing about? What do you feel like? Do you feel like the red hair like made it? Like, I feel like
it made my personality.
As a redhead, I feel like you have.
I'm defined totally by my hair.
Yes, but I feel like I had to grow into my hair. And I don't think I'm like super loud or anything, but I feel like my hair.
I probably did. I mean, I think you kind of. Yeah, I think that, you know, when you're a child with hair as bright as mine, you stand out. Like, I would
totally.
if I was skiving, I'd be like, you were seen up the cow path at 3 o'clock trying to skive Charlotte. Everyone else would get off. Do you know what I mean? I would be like,
I have always, no idea what you just said. I was what's like, skive?
Skiving. Sorry, I'm playing truant. When you kind of don't sort of go to school.
Oh,
you
know, yeah. Cow path, like, skiving,
you,
yeah, go.
You're going to be like, you're going to be seen. Like you can't hide.
Hiding, not going to school. Yes. I was trying to kind of hide at boarding school and everyone else would get off and I wouldn't. You know,
they'd be like, red
you were in detention, at whatever. You're like, oh God, really? And but the thing is that you know it does define, you know, you stand out from a crowd. So
did you like it though in the beginning or no?
Well, I think you're quite kind of, you know, you're kind of, because I think sort of you do get teased. I definitely got teased. I definitely got, you know, bullied. I got all sorts of things. But actually, it's kind of made me who I am.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's sort of, I'm probably a bit feisty. You know, I've got kind of like, you know, exactly. You're like, you stand up, you learn to stand up for yourself when you're an early age. And, you know, and people call you all sorts of names and whatever. And you're like, whatever. And you just kind of, but actually, you know what? I've learned to have a really good laugh at myself because I don't take anything too seriously. Like people can throw anything at me that I just like. You've got to have a laugh, right? You can't take everything. You can't, someone says something or be too sensitive about it. It's just, you can, I think you grow a tougher shell. And I do think there's a compassion in a way that comes with it because you kind of understand what people have sort of been through.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you're the fair redhead, I mean, you've got those amazing dark eyebrows and dark eyelashes, but darling, I'm the Boris Becker type of redhead. And like
that. Stop saying Boris Becker.
It's like, but it is, it's like the harder type of redhead. And so, because you
oh my God, even among the redheads, there's like a ranking. Like, yeah. You're the dark one, you're good.
You're like better, exactly. You get off lightly, but look a little bit easier than me. But you kind of, yeah. And then the power of makeup, you discover the power of makeup. And it's like, as a child, I think you want, everyone always wants to fit in more.
Yeah,
as you get older, you're happy to be different.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so you're different as a child. So that's harder. Right? Mm-hmm. But then you realize, you know, it's like Steve Jobs says, you look back in life and you can suddenly connect all the dots as to why certain things happen to you and kind of who it's made you who you are and empowered you to be the person. And in a sense, makeup really changed my life and defined who I am. And therefore, and I'd always had a natural obsession with it and a natural affinity because my father being an artist. And I then wanted to give that power to all women. But I ended up giving it to celebrities and to supermodels. And then I felt really frustrated that I wasn't giving it to the world, right?
Yeah.
Because and people were asking me, all my friends, and
that's
I get
the compassion
emails and things.
In you.
Exactly, were like, oh, I wish I could look like that. I mean, yes, you can look like that. You can. Those people don't come from another planet. They're just like the rest of us. But they've got, you know, what they've got when they walk down this red carpet, they've got the makeup on. They've got the colors that kind of make their green eyes or blue eyes or brown eyes look like the most beautiful version. They've kind of, you know, they've kind mm-hmm. of they've worked with the makeup artists, worked with the symmetry of their face. They've got incredible creams on, glow. They've got incredible masks that they've used, masks of the future. Like Nicole Kidman, but like they've done the whole kind of thing, right?
Right.
And you know, my whole thing is I want to democratize makeup and give it to everyone so that everyone can feel like they're on the red carpet and it's not this exclusive club.
Yeah, that's the compassion for sure. You're definitely feisty, like you said, confidence. But you have this weird spiritual side I've always noticed too.
Yeah.
I don't know if this is the Ibiza thing coming
out. Yes, the bohemian background.
But I feel like every time I see you, I end up like, I don't know, you get into like sacred geometry or crystals or that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Convince me.
Okay.
Why do I need this in my life?
Everyone needs it in their life because I really believe that you are what you think. I believe in the power of creative visualization and that anyone can have whatever they want in life. It's just people limit themselves.
Have you always believed this?
My mother sort of taught it to me. And then I realized throughout life, I worked with different healers or different people and then read certain books or whatever it is. And I've just then realized, oh my God. And then I would put it into practice. And then I'd be like, oh my God, you get exactly what you want. And life gives you exactly what you want.
How do I do it?
Okay. Yeah. So part of it is, it's about creative visualization. So if most people would be like, well, you're born into a certain class and you do a certain job, and so there you can only earn this amount of money or you can only go a certain way. And I believe that anyone can achieve whatever their dreams are. You know, my whole thing is like...
It sounds very American.
Well, do you know what it is? I think quite American, the way I am. It's not very English.
No.
And so my whole thing is dare to dream it, dare to believe it, and then dare to do it.
Do I have to dream it every day?
You have to believe it every day.
I'm a practical person. Give me like...
Okay. Steps. Okay, so you have to, so whatever your vision is, like,
okay.
what, you know, where do you want to work? How much money do you want to earn that year?
Yeah.
Who do you want your boyfriend to be? I don't know. I like whatever, this. Like, whatever, yeah. whatever it is,
mm-hmm.
you can mood board it.
Okay.
Right. So you can have pictures this on a mood board. This is like The Secret. This exactly.
Yeah.
Very similar to The Secret. The Secret is done in a much more an American kind
yeah.
of organized way. There's okay. there loads of different ways. You can mood board it. I don't mood board it all the time, but I visualize it always mentally in my mind.
Okay.
And then sometimes I write it down. What I want my okay. wish to be. It's all about making your wishes come
do
true.
Do I need to carry stones?
And you don't need to carry stones.
Okay.
Do not
okay.
need to, if you want to carry some big rocks, like some big diamonds, that's not a problem. like, you know, but you don't need
but
to carry
picture.
Stones. No.
And my brain
get clear.
Need to
picture, get clear.
You need
to
get very
want.
Clear. I think a lot of people send mixed messages like, I really wish I could have that and I really would dream that I would have that, but I just don't think I'm good enough or I could never do
no,
that.
No, I got to send them a clear message.
You've got
to get a
clear message. You've got to be like, I can. Because I think so many people limit themselves in life by the way that they think. And actually, it's just a mindset change of like, of course, it's like feel the fear and do it anyway. Like we always feel, we're all insecure as human beings. We all feel a bit nervous about doing something.
You feel insecure sometimes?
Do you know what? Sometimes you're like, you go in, you do a job and you're just like, you know what? I'm just going to do the best I can do. But you know, it's like you kind of, I'm only human, right? So it's like, I think sometimes you feel, I've worked on myself over so many years to kind of be this, but I definitely was a redhead when I was younger, not having overcome insecurity of being like, you are different the whole time. Absolutely, but I've learned to empower myself in so much, and I feel, and I've always been very strong. So, and I've always had a great sense of fairness, so and beliefs. So, I think that in a way you kind of start to overcome it, and then when you start to, you know, have these visions and believe in them and kind of put them forward and sort of, you know, and then you start to see life actually bringing them to life because you really,
yeah.
you've got to feel it. You can't just visualize it. You have to feel it. If you feel it, if you believe it, it will happen. And that's really what I believe.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
we can.
Yes, we can.
I love it.
Yes. we can have it all. Exactly. Yeah.
That's
what, and makeup is part of that. Makeup's a huge part of it.
Okay. So we're coming, we have to get to like the practical
yes.
part of makeup right now.
That's right. You have a line. You have a line.
No, okay. Don't worry. I could sit and talk to you
well,
all day.
No, this,
what's
this
next?
Is fantastic.
What's the big next thing from the Charlotte Tilbury line? Sorry.
I like talking to Charlotte about life.
Yeah, no, we can kind of
look at me trying to be
life.
Practical. Keep us on top.
I'm like, I just want to talk about life with Charlotte and visualize.
Oh my God, we can drink wine with Charlotte all night.
Did you visualize your brand?
Yes, totally.
From the start, you
from
think?
From the start. From the start.
Really?
From the start. So when I was 13, I remember walking to a boarding
sorry,
school.
Sorry, Jen, we'll talk about 13
and we're
in a minute.
Back. We're back. When I was 13, I remember walking to boarding school and literally just being like, I dreamt up the idea of my brand of like, I was like, I wish I could have like the best makeup artist in the world tell me exactly what colors would suit me, exactly how to do my makeup, exactly, you know, the whole vision of what I ended up
and
creating.
And then you were the makeup artist.
And then I was the makeup artist that ended up creating. But that was my dream. So when the beauty ads would come, because I was like, you know, when you go through those kind of awkward moments of like finding yourself when you're younger, and even though my father was an artist, and even though I ended up getting all the girls at boarding school when I was 13 and doing their makeup, and like doing their hair and styling them, it was still like I was finding and experimenting and looking at magazines and looking at different things and sort of, you know, kind of being able to sort of transport, okay, I can do these with these eyes or whatever. But you kind of wanted an expert to come in and be world's expert and tell you, boom, this is how to do it. And so you kind of, and then I ended up taking the rules of art. So I realized, oh my God, as a makeup artist, I'm choosing certain colors because they're color contrasting. So, you know, a lot of makeup artists work very intuitively. They couldn't tell you why they're choosing certain colors.
Oh, we know that because we interview them all the time.
And they don't know how to verbalize it.
And they don't know how to verbalize it.
And they're talented, but it's a different skill to
Yeah, and they're just because it's just, it's like it's intuitive and it's working through them in such an intuitive way. And then when I had, before I had the brand, I was like, I had to decodify why I was doing certain things. And so then, so initially it was like, whether it's Film Star Bronze and Glow that I kind of initially did when I was doing for Jennifer Lopez. And I was like, oh, this is what the original Hollywood, you know, kind of like, you know, Max Factor, all those kind of people used to do back in the day of working with all of those celebrities. They would highlight and contour and you'd have the Vaseline on the camera lens or the kind of black and white, whatever it was. And what it was doing cinematically to their face and how it was lighting and sculpting their face and giving them that amazing facial architecture, this shimmer. So that's how I ended up creating that palette. But then I wanted to decodify what the color contrasting thing. So what artists do is they use color contrasting colors.
Right.
So to bring out your green eyes or your brown eyes or your blue eyes or whatever it is, there are certain colors that you can use that contrast, that make them look like they've got little lights inside them. So a lot of makeup artists work very intuitively. So what I wanted to do with this line was decodify everything, I came break it down with the color chameleons, which is the best colors for day and night, for brown eyes, for green eyes, for hazel green, whatever, blue.
So,
but it was all of those ideas of art, you know, and then looking at certain things with the kind of the way that lighting plays and putting it into palettes and like concepts and beauty DNA, yes. stealing a lot of that, you know, kind of the style, people's style, and putting it into a lipstick so that everyone could have it.
So while we have you here,
yeah.
I want to know, I mean, you obviously can't look and assess every listener's face, but what would you say would be the one product that you just think makes everyone, is this even possible?
It's impossible.
This is impossible. It's impossible. Like asking me to choose one of my children.
I know, but the like, product that you just feel like, oh my God, this looks gorgeous on everyone.
I mean, it's so hard because I'm like, oh, well, everyone needs a look, but everyone does need a look. But I think that, you know.
You all need looks, everyone.
Everyone needs
a look.
Go get
your look.
Yeah, exactly. Go get your look. Go choose your look. And just you know, tell me. And my whole thing is always saying to everyone, who's your beauty icon? Because everyone yeah. will always have a beauty icon. And then very quickly, all of those 10 looks, they're classic and iconic.
No, you have to sell one product. What is
okay.
it?
Okay.
I know, this is
so
tough.
So what is this tough? One look, one look. Okay.
And then what's your favorite look?
Okay, magic cream. No one can live without magic
Thank
cream.
Thank you.
Okay.
I was going to say that.
It's like magic cream is like, you can't because, you know, skin is the big part of our face, right?
Yes.
And then, you know, you could be like, okay, or, you know, and then you might be film stuff ones and glow because you like film stuff.
But you have to start with something.
You have to start with beautiful
skin.
How
do you make it, you tap it, what do you do to people's faces?
Yeah,
like,
we always do the angel wings. So we kind of
Tell
like
us.
Tap it, we kind of tap it, you know, to sort of get it, kind of blood flowing through the skin. I sort of, and I used to be known as the Tilbury tap and drive celebrities crazy because I'd be like, they're like, will you stop?
You're like fluttering your fingers on your cheek.
And then like, exactly, and then going underneath the cheekbones and then pinching the jawline. Because sometimes we wake up and we're like a bit puffy, a bit tired, and to give yourself a bit of a lift. And also it's sort of like a face gym, it's sort of like a muscle memory. We all have a muscle memory, so the more you can like lift, I mean, you guys are still sort of nubile and young and sort of
I love how she qualified that, it was sort of
you know, don't shush.
She like, no, but you stop are, for a
no,
second.
No, but you are. You're gorgeous and young.
It's
and
funny.
You don't
joking,
need it.
Joking.
You don't need it. Like,
but so you're pinching
you know,
and massaging it. Yes. Don't just slap it on.
Like, no, I mean, you can because, by the way, it works. Whatever. You know, like, you know, I mean, I just came from LA and I literally was like, I want to hand it out to everyone there, male, female, everyone. Because it's like, it's a desert, right?
It's yeah, like, yeah, it's bad right now.
But then obviously, you know, I can't really live without kind of mascara and I can't live without, you know, I can't live without kind of, you know, Wonder Glow and film stuff. Bronze and glow and you know
right.
kind of,
I'll let you pass I love that you put that. Wonder Glow on before bed.
Yeah.
That's so amazing.
Because you can. Because it's like the hybrid. My whole thing is also about intelligent products. I think as we go more into the future, like the more intelligent your product yeah. can be, the more that it's working on your skin as well as making you look beautiful. So like Magic Foundation.
Which, wait, what's next then? Talking about the future.
No, exactly. So well, the mask of the future.
What's the mask?
So the mask of the future is amazing. I have to say that is so incredible. The mask of the future.
You weren't satisfied with the clay.
Oh my God, the goddess
mask?
Skin clay like, mask. Multi-masking. We love multi-masking. So I love the goddess skin clay mask. But this is got a, we worked with this company. I can't actually say where they are, but anyway, this amazing company that I found.
Okay.
And I'm the first person to have the technology.
Oh, amazing.
And it basically, so it's clinically, look at here, I'm going to go into my very kind of, you know.
Give it to us.
Yes, exactly.
This is coming when, this new mask?
So this is coming, I think, in the next 2 months. I think it's coming out. I've been using it on March. I've been using it on quite a lot of...
Did Nicole get it at the Golden
Nicole
Globes?
Nicole got it at the Golden
okay,
Globes.
Okay, tell us, clinically what?
I said clinically proven to reduce wrinkles, smooth and brighten, lift and hydrate the skin. And so we have these amazing trials of like, and it's like 91% agreed that it hydrated the skin, 70% it agreed that it reduced wrinkles. I mean, they're huge. We
wow.
have big, big...
So this is
size,
more moisturizing
like,
than the... Goddess one.
No, the Goddess Skin Clay Mask is very moisturizing as well. Because when you put it on, what I love about the Goddess Skin Clay Mask, it like feeds your skin. It's very calming and soothing. So if you have like a breakout or any kind of redness, it reduces redness, it bumps, it fills in lines. This one is very different. It's like this one, when you put it on, it's like you can put the Goddess Skin Clay Mask. I love doing the Goddess Skin Clay Mask and then putting this one on top to finish it off.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Because this one, like, literally, like, can you see? I don't know if you can see how dewy my skin is. Like,
no, it's super dewy.
Super
like,
dewy.
And I literally was like, I cannot be without this because if you saw me this morning, I was like, oh my God, oh my God. Because like,
so it's not highlighter, it's because of the mask.
The whole texture of my skin is like super,
yeah, it's
super,
really
super
nice.
Soft and like hydrated. And you just see a massive, so like it smooths the skin. You visit and what's crazy about it is that it's dry. Okay. So you see this, you take it out and you're like, and it's printed. It's printed technology. So it's printed into the mask. It goes down to like this like amazing, like right,
it's a sheet mask?
Right into the dermis of the skin. It's a sheet mask.
Oh, cool.
Okay.
It's a sheet mask and it's printed technology. So it's it's like it's totally revolutionary and breakthrough. You put it on, and you put it on behind your ear, so you can walk around the house. Not that you probably ever do the hoovering or whatever, or on your computer, or whatever you're doing. But you don't have to lay there. It's not wet. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So you don't have to kind of lie there. You could just walk around. I mean, I do it in the back of taxis sometimes, and I mean, I'm probably a bit terrifying to people, but. You know, in the back of taxis on the way to the airport, because I'm like in such a rush, I have like no time.
But it's not drippy, so it's fine.
It's not drippy, it's completely dry. And then you take it off and you cannot believe what it has done to your skin. Because you look like you've literally just been to a kind of like, you know, you've had like a Hollywood facial at the facialist, so you've been to a spa. That's
Jessica's hitting me right now. Yeah. Just so everybody knows.
I can't wait to try this.
Stop hitting me.
Jen's going to be like,
what is this thing going to be called? This amazing mess.
It's called the magical facial mask. And
magic.
Magic.
She's all about magic.
Yeah, I am all about magic.
You've cornered the market on magic.
It's like, because they are. When you find these incredible, incredible things, I mean, it's really, I think it's the mask of the future.
But democracy, because she wants to give it to all.
Yes.
I love how, like, you you really care about the little people.
I care about everyone.
Question for you. Is there a product that you wish you had invented?
Oh, I never think about that.
That's good. You focused on your business.
Yeah. Okay. I always...
Don't look back.
I never look back. I always look forward. I'm always like, oh, well, I kind of think that everything I have is fabulous. And I think, well, if someone else has done it, I've either got to do much better or, do you know what I mean, or not bother. So
you're
I don't,
good
you know, I don't, I don't regret anything or kind of, no, I just think, you know, I'll come up with something even more amazing.
And what do you have in your handbag at all times?
So I have
doesn't have to be beauty.
It doesn't have to be Charlotte competitive products.
I have my homeopathic drops.
Okay.
What
kind of thing?
So I have my homeopathic drops, a thing called Adrenaplex inside them. They just keep me calm and kind of, you know, because I have such a busy schedule sometimes. I'm a mother, I'm a wife, I'm running this kind of mad business.
Yeah, how do you manage your stress?
I kind of, you know, and so I think I've just by going to acupuncture and taking my homeopathic drops and kind of just, you know, that's my therapy. Mm-hmm. And then also I love dancing.
As Jess gulps wine.
I love to have a drink and I love to go out dancing. I mean, that's a great way. Dancing is totally my therapy. Mm. I love that.
So what else is in the bag? The homeopathic
okay,
drops?
Okay, so my homeopathic drops, my diary. I'm quite old fashioned. I like to write things in my diary. I've also got my passport because I'm always, you know, traveling at some point. So it's always my bag. My makeup bag, obviously. A little mini pot of magic cream because I need that, you know, to just rehydrate, refresh. What else is in there? My iPhone 6. What else have I got? My mini Mason Pearson hairbrush.
I was going to say the hair. We didn't talk about the hair.
The mini Mason Pearson hairbrush.
What's your favorite shampoo and conditioner then?
I have to say, my hair's quite promiscuous. So...
Sexy hair.
So at the moment, I'm loving Jen Atkin. I just used that actually today.
The way.
Yeah. And actually, I really kind of liking the way that's feeling.
That's good.
Yeah. So she was like, you need this, you need that. I was like, okay. I love Orbe too. Orbe is great. Sometimes I use Kerastase. You know, it's promiscuous
it's good
my hair.
Stuff. Yeah. Oh my God, I feel like I have to go make a collage and a diary.
I need to get very clear about what I want.
That's the thing. You have to be really clear and you have to believe it because it's all very well saying, I want to do this and I want to do that. And then someone that goes, it didn't really happen to me. I'm like, well, did you really believe it? And were you sending the right message to the universe or were you just, you know?
Because it also focuses
you. Just saying the words.
Focus on what you want. Oh my gosh, Charlotte, you've been
yourself
an inspiration.
Yeah.
It's kind of everything we thought it was going to be.
She smells good. She says very, like, you know, powerful things.
Yes. You girls are fabulous.
I feel like I'm part of the Redhead Club now.
Yes.
Thank you, Charlotte.
I love it. Well, you've got your witchy kind of fabulous streak in your hair, which is so fabulous.
Thank you so much for coming on Fat
Thank
Mascara.
You so much for having me. It's been so much fun. We could sit here all day, right, chatting. I could never go. You'd be like, right, it's finished. It's over. It's time to go.
I feel like I can't even explain it to people how I felt.
I will explain it because you know how like she was talking about like the secret and visualizing things and then they'll happen. I was waiting for an email for this thing that I was really excited about. It was like a work thing, whatever. And as she was talking about it, I was thinking about it. I'm like, this is so stupid, but I'm just going to sit here and be picturing this person emailing me with the thing that I needed. So the whole time she was talking, I was doing that. Do you know I just looked at my phone? I kid you fucking not. It came through.
You kid me fucking not.
I don't know if this... It's fully coincidence. I'm not ready to, convert. But
I'm kind of ready to be a convert because really, what are our other options?
That's true.
You know what I mean? Like,
it's true. Anyway, that was really freaky. Yeah. That freaked me out a little bit.
In the good way.
On a less freaky note, let's get raw.
That's going to make me laugh for like months.
Okay, raise a wand. Okay. What's going on?
So I have a non-product raise a wand.
Oh, okay.
So maybe I'm just like in a Charlotte mood, but I don't think that's it. I'm really into pajamas lately. Okay, like proper pajamas.
You got mad at me for raising a wand to Clementine.
No. This does have a beauty element, okay? Because it's about relaxation and it's about forcing yourself to shut off. I'm not talking about like your Old Navy like sweat shorts and like, you know, like Jamie's bar mitzvah t-shirt, okay? I'm talking about treating yourself to a pair of pajamas. They don't need to be like super fancy. You can go to TJ Maxx.
Well, what is the one that you want to raise a wand to?
Well, I have a few different pairs on rotation right now.
It's raise a wand. You get to pick one.
I'm kind of ashamed because these are so nice that like, right. I can't even believe I own them. I have a pair of Liberty print pajamas right now. Like Liberty pajamas.
Like Liberty of London?
Yeah. I know. Like, I hate me too.
No. Are they flowered in calico and like?
No, they're just like a beautiful paisley print.
That's adorable.
I know. But thank you. But when I get into my pajamas, whether they're those or like, you know, my old pajamas, I send a cue to myself that it is time to wind down. And that is so important. A time to like, you know how like some people leave their phones, like in theory, like in a little dish by their door. Like, I don't check my phone after 7 p.m. or whatever the hell it is.
Yeah.
Getting into my pajamas now is a cue that like, I'm done. Like, it is time for me to like, talk to my boyfriend.
Pavlovian pajamas.
Yes, yeah, they're Pavlovian pajamas.
Raise a wand. Me, you ready?
I am ready.
I don't have a product either. We're going to annoy
everybody. I like this. No, I think people like it.
Okay. I'm raising a wand to our listeners. I got them a special Valentine. I spent a really like insane amount of time. You won't believe I did this. I went back through our entire catalog of episodes. We're coming up on a year here. We're on episode 48, it is.
I know, it's so exciting.
And I identified every song we have ever featured on this podcast, and I put them in the most epic Spotify playlist you will ever see in your life.
Oh my God, there's so many good songs.
And then I wrote them all down by episode and put it on the blog because I love our listeners. I hope that's a good Valentine.
That's a sick Valentine.
Okay, so if you go to fatmascara.com/playlist, you'll get a list of them there. It links to the Spotify. You could just search Fat Mascara on Spotify. I laughed so hard remembering some of the songs that we put in there.
What are some of your favorites?
Oh.
Whisper
song is in there, like by the Twins.
Like when we were talking about ASMR.
She's so, like there's a lot of 70s hits about, I don't know. I like them all. Breathe, Britney.
Somebody, our friend Biba, she texted me the other day because she was laughing at You're the Inspiration after Jane Larkin left.
That was a really good one, that episode.
Some of the timing is really funny. Okay, now I'm just like navel gazing.
And some of them are goofy, and there's ones about hair. Of course, hair is in there. Any beauty song you would ever want is in there, like Slay and Viva Swan. Yeah. And anyway, you guys have to check it out. So we'll link to it on this week's blog. But then if you ever want to go back, it's fatmascara.com/playlist. We mentioned a lot of products and people and places and brands and things in this episode. So I just want to put it out there. If you want to find out where any of those things are, go to fatmascara.com.
And you can also follow us on Instagram and Twitter and at fatmascara for both of those things. And you can also contact us directly by emailing us at info@fatmascara.com.
So profesh.
So profesh. Thanks for listening, guys.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
It's time for another season of The Palmetto Porch, an original podcast from Discover South Carolina. I'm Devin Whitmire. Join me as I get to the heart of what makes South Carolina such a great place to visit by speaking to the locals who make it so special. Premiering December 5th, find The Palmetto Porch wherever you get your podcasts. And for more information about our show, visit scpalmettoporch.com.